Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for NBC's newest superhero, Connection Man.
Connection Man, Connection Man, connecting to all the hearts she can. Observe field, speed of light, need requests, or inner sights. Look out, here comes Connection Man. R to the A to the C to the E, shades of brown and ancestry. It's socially and politically, guess what, there's no biology. The concept separates us from them. What are the needs we're trying to meet when we imagine our group is in the elite? Is it respect, inclusion too, or is it importance? I'm asking you, reach out, let go of the need to compete. Say there's no black and there is no white. Say we bought the story and we bought the hype. We're invested in our group the way we see it. That's the way it is, I'm purple, so be it. What if we're all just shades of brown, from the lightest variation to the highest one around? What are the needs that we're trying to get met by leaving in race and the challenge that we get?
What about my group? What am I to do? My need for significance is met by being blue. Who am I if I don't have that? You'll probably tell me next that the world isn't flat.
Connection Man, connecting to all the hearts that she can. What's up, Team Humanity? How's everyone feeling today, spiritually, mentally, and physically? This is Leading with Compassion Radio, brought to you by Diane Diamond and True North House Productions. And I'm your host, Tony, the empathy guy, Scruggs, coming at you all the way live from the Empathy Institute in Culver City, California. My teammates call me Scruggsy. The universe calls me Simba, spirit, mind, and body. And I'm here to offer you a gift. I'm here to offer you hope and inspiration, encouragement and transformation. I'm here to offer you respect, inclusion, connection, equality, and acceptance. I'm here to offer you nonviolent empathy, the strategy that goes along with the Leading with Compassion philosophy that asks the question, are you listening and thinking empathically as well as speaking nonviolently? Question for you. Have you heard about the drone pilot who documented the journey of water protectors in Standing Rock? Well, if you haven't, number one, think about why for a moment. And number two, sit back and relax as a native son of Standing Rock and my True North House Publishing brother, take you on a painfully beautiful adventure from before the first teepee was erected until after the camps were raided. During the next 30 minutes, my special guest and I will talk about the prayerful presence used by water protectors in efforts to prevent the Dakota Access Pipeline. We'll discuss the violent resistance that water protectors were met with and how that relates to generations of violence in this country towards indigenous peoples. And we will celebrate the compassionate resistance of water protectors who are spreading the seeds of change all over the world around environmental and indigenous awareness, all starting in Standing Rock, the home of today's Leading with Compassion special guest and the author of the new book, Through Indigenous Eyes, Mr. Dean Dedman, who I'm going to butcher this, but I'm going to say it anyway, Mr. Shazay Bidzel. What's up, brother Dean? How you feeling today?
I am feeling beautiful, feeling awesome, feeling centered.
Ah, centered. Oh, real quick, will you do me a favor and tell our listeners where you just came back from and the special reason that you happened to be there?
I just got back early this morning. We was in Park City, Utah. Was invited up there from Cody himself, the one that was making the video. And it was a video just pretty much called Utica, Battle of Standing Rock. It's a video that I saw myself that really gives strength and gives a lot of awakening to oneself and what really happened up there on Standing Rock. And it was a very moving and a very emotional movie. But it was very, let's just say, it's good medicine for the soul. And that's where I just got back from me and friends of ours. We drove back all night. Just wanted to see the movie, show Koi our brother support. And not only that, it was just another a good time and a good moment for all the water protectors who were contributing to the movie and just who are a part of the story that were all there. And so it was a very exciting time, and it was really, I'm very proud of myself to being a part of that, the movie, contributing all of my drone footage to it. And in a sense, we all came together to really show a vision, our vision, all of our visions in one vision. But that's where I came back from. So right now, we're just kicking back today, and heard I was going to be on your show to talk about the book and all the blessings.
Absolutely. Good medicine for the soul. I love that. So just for the listeners, I actually want to ask, will you pronounce your name? Is it Shazay? Is that how you pronounce the first name?
Shazay. It's Navajo, and it means my son has power. Basically, like the sun in the sky gives you power.
Wow, that's beautiful. You know, do you mind for the interview I call you Dean?
Yeah, you can call me whatever you want to call me, man. Don't matter.
All right. So here's just a couple of quick questions for our listeners so they can catch up a little bit. Having absorbed your book, Through Indigenous Eyes, and your documentary, Four Directions, over the last week, let me know if these things are accurate. So you were born in North Dakota of Navajo and Lakota ancestry for the Bittersweet Clan. Is that accurate?
No, it's Tojichini Bushishchin is the Bitterwater Clan. That's where I'm born for. My dad's Navajo. So, and my mom, Tung Papa Lakota from Standing Rock, Little Eagle. And I was born in Bismarck, North Dakota, but I was raised in Chinle, Arizona, in Navajo Nation for half of my life.
Yeah,
the rest of my life I grew up.
What I was going to ask you is you lived in Arizona till 12, and then you returned to the Dakotas, this time to South Dakota, specifically the South Dakota side of the Standing Rock Reservation, and then you graduated from school there and then found yourself in New Mexico, where you happen to be right now, studying communication, production, and film at the Institute of American Indian Arts. Did I get that, or am I off?
Yeah, perfect. Right on the dot, man.
Nice, nice. Now, just for the listeners, I want to let you know that Dean is the proud father of three children, twin boys and a little girl. And on top of his passion for, and I almost can't believe I'm saying this, on top of his passion for dinosaurs, superheroes, science, and the music of Linkin Park, Dean is, and this is in my humble opinion after absorbing your work, I believe that Dean is a seeker, a poet, and a truth teller. So just a little bit more for you guys listening. What Americans think of as camping, Dean sees as living, and in the spirit of living, this amazing soul who I've been introduced to for the last week and just absorbed, this amazing soul began sharing on Facebook moments of observational transformation synergized with historical references of emotional and physical violence inflicted upon the indigenous peoples, as well as he shares the story of a people that from what I'm taking in, are literally the highly evolved beings that Neil Donald Walsh talks about us all. Just to wrap this up before I get to Dean again, after time in Washington, I believe Dean and his family headed back to South Dakota, and then here's where I want you to come in, Dean. On a wonderful March day in 2016, a package delivery altered your life, and the company that is known as Drone to Be Wild was born. I had to get that one for you, D. I was like, as soon as I saw that name, Drone to Be Wild, I'm like, I'm going to honor Dean and get that music playing on my radio show.
Born to Be Wild. Actually, it took me all day just to come up with that one statement, and I had this whole paper full of all kinds of, like, names and titles, but for some reason, that name stuck. It's all the wildness in it.
Okay.
It's how it became to be, and a lot of people just kept on.
I think it is brilliant. That's why I knew I needed to honor you by playing that song. So here's the first question. Would you be willing to tell us a little bit about that beginning part of the journey that we read about in Through Indigenous Eyes? And then, if it's okay with you, I'd actually like to read an excerpt from the book about a challenging Friday that you had and how you so empathically and gracefully handled it. So if you'd tell us about that little origin story, I would love for my listeners to hear that.
Yeah, it all started, like I said, 1 year, I got my income tax return, and I was just scanning through the internet and through Facebook, and I seen this drone, and I was like, man, this is like, I mean, they used to be really expensive back 10 years ago. Now they're pretty affordable, like $2,500 affordable. So I wanted to buy something that would be more amazing. Buying something every day with her money. And I knew that it was a lot of money. And I really made this conscious decision, like, okay, buy a car that would eventually break down, feed what my family would like with this money, or buy this drone and maybe be a little selfish of it. But something kept telling me to just get it. It could be something new and amazing. So I sat on it for a couple of days, and I was talking to my baby mama at the time. She was okay with it, but then again, as soon as I started making a decision, including to make a decision of getting it, she didn't want me to get it. And I just said, you know what, though? I worked all year for this money, and I'm going to get myself something that I think I should earn, and I believe I earned. So I went and ordered it, and I put the name in, put my address in, paid it with what money I had on my card, paid some tax return. And from that point on, once I clicked an order, it came in 2 weeks later, and little did I know, I didn't know really what was going to come to it. You know, I just was excited to have a drone, and I was pretty much like the first Standing Rock Indigenous Native to really have a drone on Standing Rock, and let alone in the area where people were, there were cop drones and stuff. But like, and after that, my friend Justin Thompson, this movement was starting about, and he said, you know what, bring your drone. A drone, I'm going to make you famous. I just laughed at it, you know, like, yeah, that's cool. I'll fly a drone on this type of thing. What he said manifested into reality, and I was the first to kind of document it with a drone. And after that, he said the rest was history. And hold on, wait. My brothers are right in front of me just doing some weird things, so I'm trying to make them go. Anyways, after that, the drone just came to my life, and it came a part of spirit. And the whole thing about this drone thing is, like, I believe I, as an Indigenous person, really gave that drone spirit, and gave it life into really doing something in connection with another spirit. You know, and a lot of people defy that. They're saying it's just a machine, it's just a robot, it's just, you know, there's no soul, no life into it. But I gave it life, and I gave it soul. You know, I gave it my own personality. And the vision, I always say I've got the vision from the sky, because I always had a unique way of looking at things and life from a different perspective. And that drone gave me that ability to really harness my power, harness my ability to really express freely and openly of what the Indigenous spirit really is. And I'm a free spirit, you know. I'm everywhere, and I'm anything, I always say. And that's the drone that goes everywhere, and it's not anything, you know. So I relate to it a lot. But that's how it came to be. And right after that, I inspired a lot of people around the world. Inspired especially the children. They were making animation videos and they wanted to be pretty wild. I got messages all over saying how these kids are just inspired by what I do. They grew up, they want to be a drone pilot. You know, so things like that kind of carried me into all of it. And I kind of recognized Drone Nation whenever everything was in the heat of battle in November, December, and we really needed more drones because me and Martin Dewey's shot out of the air and stuff. So I made one call out to everybody who's a drone pilot just to come to Standing Rock. Say you are scared to fly with the rules or without rules, just fly for your own self, for your own spirit. And all of a sudden, all of these drone pilots from all over the world, or from all over the country, started coming and really connecting with what I was doing in the movement. So from there, just that grew with all the seats, everywhere,
that,
you know?
That is just amazing how the origin story, when I read the book and I'm hearing you talk right now, you are one of the first person that I've seen in writing use the phrase spirit, mind, and body. I said at the beginning, you know, the universe calls me Simba, spirit, mind, and body. And I asked people how they're feeling spiritually, mentally, and physically. And I got goosebumps when I read that in your book. And I knew that us being part of the True North House family was so in line with the universe. So I love how you, about the drone as an extension of spirit. And I'd like to read a little excerpt from the book for the folks. So, hey, you guys listening, this is from Through Indigenous Eyes, and I want to tell Dean why I'm reading it, and then I want to read it, and then let Dean know why I was reading it. So Dean wrote, "Had the worst Friday ever. I lost my drone. I got the car stuck looking for my drone. I lost the keys to my car looking for the drone. And after all this, I found out that my Uncle O passed on. I feel sad. I feel worn out. I feel tired. Rest in peace, Big O. I'm going to miss you, and I will always think about you. Didn't get the shots I wanted because of the dang wind. Things didn't go the way I had imagined. 6 hours later, I found my drone. Thank God for GPS, and thank God for Google Maps." And the reason why I wanted to read that, Dean, the reason why I wanted to read that to everybody listening is because it totally exemplified two of the Tony Robbins quotes that I live by every day, and that is, it's not what happens, it's what you do with what happens that makes the difference, and nothing has any meaning except for the meaning that we give it. And when you guys get a copy of Dean's book, Through Indigenous Eyes, you are going to see that he lives from the philosophy of it's not what happens, it's what you do with what happens. So I hope that honored part of the energy of what you were writing with, Dean, and I hope that you're able to receive that from my heart and my soul.
I felt it, brother. I shedded a tear because it reminds me of a lot of things. That's, I know in my heart, there's always my pyramid, there's always my cross, there's always my mind, my body, my spirit. Keep me strong, even though sometimes it's hard to endure it. But just to listen into the emptiness, and you start to hear it, you can get through anything in life. Doesn't matter what oppression comes on you. You just got to make that good impression on the world and leave your footprint.
Yes, yes. So here's my first big question, and I love what you just said. Make that impression. Wow, I got goosebumps when you just said make an impression. And for those of you who are listening who heard the word impression only in one way, make an impression. The way I heard it when Dean just said that is literally spiritually, mentally, and physically make an impression in the world. I love that. So here's question number one. So I watched Four Directions, and it was really powerful. Thank you so much for making that. Will you share a little bit about Four Directions? And by the way, thank you so much for teaching me about the broken promises of the Fort Laramie Treaty. I was not aware of that until I was introduced to your work. So thank you for that. And would you share a little bit about what Four Directions, the documentary, is all about?
The Four Directions documentary is something that's contributing to the compiled collective of indigenous consciousness coming together with the abilities of our talents and our skills and our people and our prayers. And pretty much it was just out there for the world to really educate the world about our broken treaties, about our way of life, basically just starting out from the water, because water is all source of life in the universe. And I really wanted to capture a lot of that power of just the simplicity of flowing freely of water and how much essence that we all can accumulate from it. And just throwing in a lot of references from, like, Russell Means, because he resonates through me, too. A lot of people do, like John Trudell, Radio Horse, you know. A lot of very spiritual people in this world, past to the future to the present, we're always here, existing, because the physicalness is not here. It doesn't mean we're not alive no more. We're always alive, and we always work and communicate through each other. And that's what that Four Directions I put out. It was basically just showing the world my abilities and skills of just a simple camera on the drone that can really capture emotional for people that are unaware of us indigenous people, unaware of our culture, our ways, our prayers. And the drone, I told you, it captures the soul, captures the moment. The stories will always be told, you know, I'll be telling all that every day. It's like a moving, breathing, flying prayer at the drone. Move it. So
a moving, breathing, flying prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's beautiful, Dean. That's just in case I don't get to this at the end, I want to get to it now. If you want to connect with Dean on social media, on Facebook, there's a Through Indigenous Eyes book page. That again, Facebook, a Through Indigenous Eyes Facebook page, and also Drone to Be Wild Photography and Video. And Drone to Be Wild is the word drone, the number 2, the letter B, and the word wild. So Drone to Be Wild Photography and Video on Facebook. And then you can also connect with Dean personally on Facebook. And then on Twitter, Dean is at Drone to Be Wild. Again, drone, the word, the number 2, the letter B, and the world and the word wild. And that's how to connect with Dean on social media as we continue talking about the book Through Indigenous Eyes. Question number 2, I wanted to ask you, after reading about your time in the Sacred Stone Camp, I'm wondering, as much loving energy as you put out in this book and as you put out into the universe, I'm wondering how you personally feel about Kelsey Warren, the CEO of Energy Transfer Partners, how you feel about him these days.
There's my thoughts on that poor soul. He's not a soul. He's an entity, not of this world. See, they possess our spirits. They influence us with our virtues and our values. They degrade our spirit. And he's pretty much an entity, not of this world. It just runs through his body. That spirit is just consumed with greed, evil, consumption to the free world. That's why I look at all these politicians and all these congressmen and all the people that are in this deeply embedded in the root of money are not from this planet. They're other entities that are coming in and out trying to control our planet through our bodies. And that's why the indigenous spirit, the indigenous people held on to this fight for 500 years, because we don't surrender to that stuff. Even as we die, we give our life to bring back life. And this is the stuff that those entities, they know. But that's the blood inside of our DNA. It's so strong. It just knows, even though we're indigenous and we lost our connection is always there. It's never lost. People just got to wake up inside and feel their power. Everyone's powerful. But in this day and age, people don't see that much, you know. They're so blinded into the illusion. And with their own demise, their own lives, whatever they feel like sad for, being angry for. And you just got to really open yourself, open your mind, open your consciousness. And like I always tell everybody, you're a walking, talking, breathing, living, existing prayer. But Kelsey Warren, bless his soul. His time will come, and he will always, you know. I always tell him that, even in the face of this battle, I don't hold no death on him. I don't hold no evil towards him. You know, he's hurt spirit in a way. He just needs to be prayed for. And I know that one of these days that he will meet his time where he will be answered. He will answer for all the things he's done to this planet. And Mother Nature, which you are right now as we speak, is working against everything. And one thing I want to tell everybody is that as far as the water has consciousness, has its own way, has its feelings and thoughts, it was foretold that long, long ago, before there was even human souls on this planet, Mother Earth, Mishimaka, the water was going to give us the power to defend and to protect them. How would you be able to give that much responsibility onto a bunch of human beings who have been so destructive to themselves on this planet? That would ideal right to protect the water. And that's a big responsibility that the water has given to the people. Will the people uphold that and follow through and protect the water? I don't know. As much as we've been destructive on ourselves on this planet, it's a really hard thing to really give responsibility to somebody that knows that they need to destroy you, but knows that the good intentions of their heart and spirit, that deep down underneath all that conditioning themselves, that there is magic, there is that connection. Water loves to hear, that loves the water, and it will always protect it with everything it has.
I wanted to bring him up because I had a sense that you would grace him with your love and your blessings and share in the wonderful way that you just did. And it just seemed like if you put that energy on this radio show and into the world, that would be part of shifting the energy for all of us. So thank you for that. And on that note, I actually wanted to go into, when I was reading, I actually noticed you had these amazing coming together moments at times with people who originally came at you kind of rough. And then because you took the time to see their beauty as a soul that is experiencing as a human, because you took the time out, the stories in the book just kind of jump out at you and give you love and blessings in a way that whatever I was doing in the moment that I was reading some of these stories, I found my whatever experience was more enhanced because I was reading about this. So the question is, will you share the stories from the book about Zach and Chris, and maybe even something about the snowmobile and the hotel parking lot, but just the amazing coming together you had with Zach and Chris?
Well, the thing about it, Chris came at me the way he came at me. I told you in that video, or like the world seen it, I just walked away. That's the greatest power you can ever give and show somebody. But what they want to do is they want to take you down to their level. Why go down to their level when they can just leave that level? Never leave. To never go down to their level. And the month I did that, I seen it in his eyes. He could not really connect with me. He could not get to me. And that was the most greatest thing I've ever shown everybody in the world, is just to walk away and to never give him that shadow of a doubt. You know? And as far as that, that was potentially kind of my fault. I mean, when we're in this battle of fighting each other and stuff, we always have this personal agenda. Like, we could have, you know, like, I kind of took it too far. I had a hacker friend that we kind of hacked his information and put his information out there because I was so mad at the moment because he was mocking me, my iron, and stuff at the snowmobile chase. But then something in my heart just told me that, you know what, though? You know, I did this, and he called us up. I talked to him over the phone, and I don't know what it is, but I just tell him from the bottom of my heart that, sorry, I didn't mean to be like this, in this kind of conflict, you know. I had no right to even try to put your family on blast and stuff like that. And for some reason, I think it's what I say in that defining moment that really touches their soul, and they learn to just let it go in times like that. And just, I think the biggest thing about us human beings is we're all too scared not to really confront each other, to really put it out there on the table. And once we do that, things go and will go out smoothly, and things will work to the better of it. But a lot of people, especially in this world, do not really confront their problems. They just let them go, but they pause them and keep going. But that's what I did, and that's how I believe I got connected to them on the other side. But those other people from Bizman Group that did not like me, and I learned from them, though. I was learning from them. I learned from everybody, my enemies, my people. I even learned from Dapple. You know, I learned from a lot. And that's why a lot of people wanted to get infiltrated, infiltrate Dapple, infiltrate this, infiltrate the camp. But, you know, really, I was infiltrating everything from a spiritual perspective side. And that's what a lot of people didn't understand, did not get. but it's the meaning of it, you know, holding it together and bringing it to the world to shine it out like a light. That's just who I am. It's my spirit. I just have this gentle kindness to my soul that really connects people, even the worst enemies. That's why I say sooner or later, our truth grows, and soon one word will come out, love. And I always feel that all this oppression, they'll put down all their weapons, and they'll learn to start loving our loving expression as human souls.
Wow. That is beautiful. And tell everybody in the background I say hello. I love hearing all of the energy and feeling your energy at the same time. It's amazing. And when you just said you take a piece of every experience you have and the people that come into your life, what just hit me was that you and I have some incredible people that we've both had the privilege to cross paths with. And I'm wondering if you want to let people know what folks like Shailene Woodley, Rosario Dawson, and Francis Fisher mean to you. But first, actually, let me tell you what my connection is with those wonderful ladies before you send them your shout-out. I actually met Shailene at a Bernie event when the day before she was online talking about empathy. And as an empathy coach, I was like, who is this lady and how can I meet her? And the next thing I knew, there was a Bernie event that was hosted by Shailene. And I got a chance to meet her and literally connect with her spirit with nothing to do with me being a former pro athlete or her being an actress. It was all about our human connection, and that was beautiful. And then Rosario, turns out I was at a soil regeneration event for Kiss the Ground, and Rosario happened to be there, and it turned out that she's been studying nonviolent communication, and I was mentored by the architect of nonviolent communication who recently passed away. And so Rosario and I got a chance to connect as human beings and nothing external. It was just all as human beings. And then lastly, Frances Fisher, I met on the Marianne Williamson for Congress campaign, and she introduced me to the hunting ground. She introduced me to the Me Too movement, and she was gracious enough to write a testimonial for my empathy book, Excellence Off the Field. So those ladies, when you mentioned those ladies in the book, I got double goosebumps because I think that they are some of the most gorgeous souls that I've ever met. And I'm wanting to hand it off to you and let the world know what you think about those ladies.
All those ladies are souls that are doing the good work in this world. They see the world for what it is and what it can be, and that's what they come to standing around. I had the honor to meet two of them, except for Rosario. Shailene Woodley, I met while I was walking my drone to see Six of Stone, and she was by the water. So I had her by the water with her friend. And that was the only moment, because I was always on the skies all the time. And Frances Fisher, now she is a young soul in this time of it. Her soul is just amazing. She just vibrates all this love and energy out to the world. And I got to meet her that very night. And that was a pretty couple late nights, just me, her, and Angela Wolf, just hanging out, kicking it like real people. And that's who they are. They're real people. Just because they're movie stars doesn't mean that they're any different or unique. We're all the same, but we're different, you know. But it just felt good to just really sit down and enjoy myself and be myself without having to say, oh, that's Francis Fisher. And at the same time, I kind of felt how she goes through life, because a lot of people coming up there taking pictures, still sat there in the moment of it. And really, we really enjoyed each other's company. The things I talked about in front of her, it made her feel good, you know? And that's why I think that's why she was always attracted to this place. But those three women,
I love that.
Like I said, they do what's right for the earth, and their spirits are special too, you know? Like yours too.
So special shout out to the wonderful human beings on this planet who are literally shedding their external earth suits and just doing serving life and serving team humanity. Thank you, ladies, and thank you for that, Dean. The next question I was going to ask you is I'm actually from the Bay Area myself, so when you had that little time away and you went off to the Bay Area, I was all fired up. And I was, for a time, I lived in Redwood City, California. So you were like hitting everything in this book for me. You're like, yeah, and I went to Northern California and I was in Redwood City and I was like, what? And so my question is, would you share that part of the story of when you went to Northern California and how that enriched your journey as the drone pilot?
Well, when I went to California, it was a time of where I needed to get away because of all the paranoia and the things that were going on in my own reservation. So I had this opportunity to go to California with my friends with Wolves, Angelo and Gabriella. And so there off I went. I actually got on a plane, and it was kind of difficult to get there because I missed my first plane and I had to get the second plane because it was snowing and everybody was after everybody and there was nobody to trust, you know. And so really leaving the whole state of North Dakota and South Dakota was another blessing in my life because I got went to Minneapolis and I flew from there. It was like a six-hour flight to San Francisco. And then we were getting into San Francisco, it was nighttime. But then we couldn't land the first time because of the high winds in the bay. And so we had to go all the way around, like just do a big old circle around the bay. And then at that moment in time, whenever we were going down, we're like, it was really high turbulence and everything. It was like, the plane could crash, you know? But I'm like, all these possibilities in my mind are running. Here I am looking out the window of this plane. And I'm right by the wing of it. And I'm like, look at this. I was like a year ago, I was just flying on the drone. And now I'm literally in the sky, flying turbulent everywhere. It might land, it doesn't matter. But look, like, this is crazy, but it's happening. And I learned to accept what was always going to happen. And I landed, and then I got to know the Redwood and Redwood City and communicate and connect with a lot of good, beautiful people in the area. And I was really taken by how much love they have, not only for me, but for the people that are really connected to Winter McCall, to the Waters Life Movement. And when I got there, it was like when I went to UC Berkeley, when I really got the sense of these people that I did not know in my life, but they come to me with such storytelling. Like, they say to me that, I want to thank you for who you are because you opened my eyes and my mind and you changed my life. And in that moment, I was like, I'm thinking about it. Like, all I did was fly a drone. How am I changing people's lives? But then just feeling that and hearing that from another human being that I never met in my life, and the way they talked to me, it broke my spirit down to what it was. And I felt that compassion for their souls. And that from that point on, I believe I call it one of my greatest moments of last year's speeches when I talked about really the reality of our awareness and self. A lot of people in this movie really talk about truth, about trying to find truth in this physical world. You'll always find that truth in the physical world, but it will never make you happy. The trueness and truth is looking within yourself. And that's what I've been to the people. And I noticed that's what it was. And when I went to California, I seen and felt all the appreciation from every person over there. Like, yo, and taking pictures. Oh, you changed my life. And you made me open my eyes. The way things you talk about, I can really relate to you because you tell it so openly. You tell it so transparent. And as a parent, that the answers just run through you. And I did not get that just yet, but during that time in California, I knew what I was doing in the world, and I was inspiring a lot of people. So I started to model that and just be myself and be real. Every moment of it, if there was something against me or something that people want to know about me, just tell it. I don't care if it's going to degrade me or hurt me or embarrass me. Just put it out there. And people will see that. It's like we're jumping off a waterfall, 30-foot waterfall. Everyone's scared to do it yet. They're waiting for the first person to do it. See how it goes. Boom, I jumped off 30-foot. Now everybody's doing it. You know?
Wow. Wow. I just wanted to read. We're almost coming to a pause. I can't believe it's happened so quick, and we're actually somehow we're able to go over time a little bit. Two of the quotes that really touched me were, we float in unity and paddle for solidarity. We float in unity and paddle for solidarity. And then the real obvious one is, you can't drink oil, keep it in the soil. I was like, I kept chanting that, like after I was reading that, I was hearing that in my dreams that night. Can't drink oil, keep it in the soil. Really quick, before I forget and before this radio show cuts off on us, I want to give a huge shout out to the woman who brought us together. And let me know if I'm pronouncing this word right, but I'm going to say, besides Yuntsi Maka, is that how you pronounce Mother Earth? Yuntsi Maka?
Unchi Maka.
So besides Unchi Maka. Unchi Maka. Besides Unchi Maka, I want to give a big shout out to Diane Diamond, who has her love class going on now. If you guys are listening to this, go use the hashtag LoveYouClass, and you will be amazed at what this wonderful woman that brought Dean and I together is doing. I also want to give a little shout out to Avril Guthrie, who makes things work so seamlessly at True North House Publishing Productions. Thank you very much, Avril. And then I also want to give a shout out to my partner, who literally makes my life so wonderful, Osa Schoberg, the sister in True North House Publishing, who her book is her Me Too journey, and that is The Booty Chronicles. You read that title, you think one thing, but it's actually a very spiritual, mental, and physically centered book that's talking about her Me Too journey. So I want to give a shout out to Diane, to Avril, and to Osa Schoberg. And then I want to give a shout out to your college roommate, David Lewis Carter, who I understand did the beautiful cover art through Indigenous Eyes. So if you're listening, David Lewis Carter, I'm going to say, what's up, D.C.?
Yeah, such beautiful people that come together to really create beautiful manifestations for this world to see and feel and be, you know. That's why I tell everybody, my purpose here on this earth is to gather all the truth tellers, because we all have very special, unique powers and abilities to show the world truth and create beautiful creativity in the world so people will follow it, because inspiration is the new currency now.
Ooh, will you say that again, please?
Inspiration is the new currency. I'd rather receive inspiration than money from anybody. Because inspiration, you can carry that for a lifetime. You could change yourself, or you could change the world, to change people. Money, you only get spent up in that one moment of time, and then now you're stressing out because you have no more money. You know,
inspiration is currency. Did you guys catch that? Before this show cuts off, I want to remind people that you can connect with Dean on Facebook at the Through Indigenous Eyes book page, and also Drone to Be Wild Photography and Video. And remember, Drone to Be Wild is the word drone, the number 2, the letter B, and the word wild. And then on Twitter, it's literally at Drone to Be Wild. And as we put this on pause, I just wanted to read a final passage from the book. And if it cuts us off, I want to thank everybody. And if I'm able to read this, I will come back in a second. So in the book, Through Indigenous Eyes, it says, peacemaking doesn't mean passivity. It is the act of interrupting injustice without mirroring injustice, the act of disarming without destroying, the act of finding a third way that is neither fight nor flight, but the careful, arduous pursuit of reconciliation and justice. It is about a revolution of love that is big enough to set both the oppressed and the oppressor free. So, as we put this very special episode of Leading with Compassion Radio on pause, I just want to thank Dean for taking time to be with us today. And literally, Dean, I want to thank you for being the change that you want to see and that we want to see in the world. I want to thank the woman who brought us together, Diane Diamond, and like I said before, the woman who makes my life more wonderful, fellow True North House author and Me Too voice, Osa Schoberg. And before we put this on pause, with like a minute left, Dean, do you want to end this with a special meditation? We have 50 seconds left.
Yeah. My meditation for a better tomorrow is just be yourself, be real, be in the moment, always flow in the moment. Don't ever own it, because you already do own it.